Yeah. You see, faith has a voice. It's called praise. If you actually are in faith, you'll praise.
Amen. Yes.
If you're not praising, you're not in faith. Why faith has a voice. It's praise. And you know, if you need, you know, the Bible says that we don't go by our feelings. And you know, when you're in hell on earth and you need a victory or deliverance, you're not going to feel like praising. No, you're not going to feel like praising. Paul and Silas at midnight were in chains and beat up and naked in a prison. And the Bible says they lifted their voice and prayed and sang praises to God. They didn't feel like doing that, but it brought victory. And we talked a few weeks ago, you say, what's this big deal with praise? Well, praise brings God on the scene. Praise brings deliverance. Praise brings his presence. In fact, Romans 4 and verse 20 says that Abraham was strengthened or grew strong in faith during his test when he gave glory to God. If you need a miracle, you need a change, you need deliverance, you know, you might not feel like, you might just feel like laying there and being quiet and being frustrated. I'm telling you, get up and start pacing the floor. Father, you are great. You do miracles so great. And you start to begin to stir that up. And the presence of God will come into that place, and it's where you'll get answers. It's where you'll get victory. It's where you'll get help. Amen? So many people during tests and trials, I was worshiping a few weeks ago at South Dayton. I had just met with a young lady. Court and I had met with her in my office at the end of service and had gone over some things with her about trying to help her. And this was, I don't know, we had met with her about a month ago, and then I'd seen a couple of weeks later, I was worshiping. You know, I don't pay attention to the people when I worship. I worship God. But it was on my heart to look out at a certain person, and I saw her just standing there with her hands on the seat, down and out, and we're singing about God. And I said, she doesn't have a revelation.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a revelation, because when you're down and out, that's when you praise. That's when you need his power and his victory. And so, praise God. Many a times I've got up in the middle of the night and just, when things are going south, you know, and the pressure's there, just begin to pace it forward. Say, I don't feel like doing that. Well, who does? Nobody does. But you stir that up and you watch God move. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Ray, it's good to see you. Pastor Ray's the pastor of the Family Church in Wellsville. So glad you're here, and so glad all of you are here. God's good to us. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to be blessed tonight?
Yes.
Right now, you just need to buckle up your spiritual seatbelts, because we're about to take off. I mean, this thing's counting down. We're ready to go. I mean, I'm already seeing the devil running out the door. He don't want us to do this tonight, but we're going to do it. Praise God. Oh, I'm fired up. So let's pray and believe God, because we're here for him. I don't know why you're here, but I'm here for him. So Lord, help us tonight. We need you. We want you. Father, I'll be the donkey that you use. I'll be the vessel. I'll be the man, Lord, whatever you need. But Father, we're looking to you. We want you, Father. So Lord, help us tonight. Now, Father, we know that the ministry of the word is our help. It's our answer. It's our victory. It's our roadmap. It's our GPS, our compass for life, to get us out of the stuck places, to get us into the places we need to go, to help us to avoid the places we don't want to go and don't want to end up. So Lord, we need the word. But Father, there are people here tonight going through different things, facing different circumstances in different seasons of life. Father, they need to hear specific things. And Lord, I don't know what everybody needs to hear specifically, but Father, you do. So I thank you, Lord, that supernatural things will happen tonight. And what I mean by that is, when I open my mouth, you're going to say things through me that are going to be so specific and pertinent to their life that they're going to wonder, man, oh man, how did he know to say that? But Father, I didn't. You did. We look to you. So we thank you for boldness tonight. We thank you for utterance. We thank you for help from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we say we're going into greater, starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a lady at this, this is great, you know, I've adopted two grandmothers in each church. Grammy Tammy over there, I've adopted her as my new grandma. And then I have one in South Dayton, Grandma Alice, that I talk about all the time. And she had brought someone to church on Sunday, and she had texted me after. Grandma Alice texted me, and she said that the lady that she brought said, he was talking about me that whole service. I'd never met the woman. I had no idea what she was going through, but God knows. Amen. And if God always wants to do his part, and if I'll do my part and just, you know, get quiet and hear from him and be faithful to deliver whatever he has to say, then God's going to deliver mail to people. Praise the Lord. And so I'm excited about it, because tonight, you know, I want to share something that's been stirring in my heart. And it's something that I heard a minister had say. It was a statement he had said years ago. I heard this when I was, you know, I got born again in 2002. And so I heard it in that years when I heard it. And it branded me, and it changed my life. And I want it to brand you tonight.
Amen.
because I want your life to be changed as well. And the statement that he said was, and it's biblical, and I've studied on it since then and got it in my heart and have lived out of this mentality and this principle, is he made the statement, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. He said that, and when he said that, when I heard that, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. When I heard those words, something on the inside of me went off, and it's a motto in a you know, I guess you'd say, bury the flag in the ground, say, I'm staking my claim. Let's stake my claim on that verse. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And if you'll get that on the inside of you, it'll get you through some things. It'll get you into the other side of some things, into some victory, and so I want to help you with that tonight in the Word, and you know, when it says, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit, that's not talking about the good times. That's not talking about the easy times. That's not talking about when the doctor's report's all perfect. I mean, nothing to defeat you there. It's not talking about when all the money's paid, the bills, or all the money's in the bank and the bills are paid and everything's great with family and friends and situations. It's not talking about that time. It's talking about the tests and the trials of life. And it's important that you understand that as long as you're going to be in this world, you're going to have tests and you're going to have trials. Tests and trials to try to knock you off of the abundant life, out of the plan of God, out of what he has for you. You see, it's always, you have to understand that there's an enemy out there. And the Bible says the thief only comes, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to completely mess your life up. And as a Christian, you have a bullseye on you. And the devil's coming for you. And real quick, go to John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. Just want to show you something real quick here. Most of us probably are familiar with this verse, but if you're not, we'll pull it up for you. John 16, 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you would have peace. Listen, I'm just going to say this right now. If you're trying to find peace anywhere besides him and his word and his plan, you're always going to be sadly disappointed. I know why, because I searched for peace for 5 years. I searched for it in the bars. I searched for it in promiscuous relationships. I searched for it at the casinos. I searched for it through things I put in my body. I searched for it through entertainment. I searched for it through even recreation and sports. Never found peace. You know when I found peace? When I found Jesus. And when I started doing it Jesus' way. You'll always be disappointed. Why? There'll always be a void and always be a lack. So in him. So my encouragement, number one, is do it his way. Go his direction. But he said, in the world. Well, guess where we are? We aren't on Mars. We're in the world right here on planet Earth. In the world, you'll have tribulation. We're not in heaven. We're in the world. And he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. What's tribulation? Tests and trials. The very things that try to knock you off of the abundant life that God promised you. Knock you off of the victory and the plan that God has for you. You'll have trials. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then if we flip back to 1 Peter, go right in your Bible. Make a right turn. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says this. And I'm just going to kind of go a little quicker here, follow along and look on the screen. It says, beloved. Well, you know what you are. You're the beloved. It says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. What's a trial? A test. Tribulation. It says, don't think it strange, the fiery test and trial that you're facing, as though some strange thing happened to you. That's one of the ways the devil gets us. He catches off. Well, how in the world that happened to me? Well, it happened to you because you got a bullseye on you. Because there's a devil in this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that he's the god of this world, and the god of this world is out to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's why. Amen. You might as well just get used to it. Jesus promised it. Well, I don't want tests and trials. Well, you can only have what Jesus says you can have, and he said you're going to have them. Now, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does deliver them out of them all. And so even though the tests and trials are coming, we don't have to be overtaken by those things. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. He said, you have tests and trials, but don't be concerned that you're going to be taken out by these things. Be of good cheer. I've overcome them, praise God. But don't be so shocked. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Stop dealing with the whys and start dealing with the solutions. And I'm going to give you solutions tonight. And so I want to talk about those two things in that statement that burned in me and has burned in me for years. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. And so I want to look at first, I cannot be defeated. Is that biblical? Is that biblical? Well, go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. If you don't get down in your heart the fact that you, in whatever test you're facing, that you can't be defeated, you're going to struggle in your mind, you're going to struggle walking some things out. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Mark 4 and verse 35. The Bible says that the same day when evening was come, Jesus said unto them, let us pass to the other side. Anybody need to get to the other side of some things here tonight? Oh, yeah. Well, if you think you're going to just get the other side, it's going to be sweet sailing, and it's sunshine and roses, you got another thing coming. Jesus said, in this world, well, it's a world, we got to get to the other side of some things. He says, let's get to the other side. And verse 36 says, when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Bam, they're on the shore with Jesus. He's preaching a sermon to them. They get in the boat. They're thinking, man, let's sit back, relax, and chill. Things are going great. And bam, hell on earth in their life, just like that. Yeah. Anybody ever had a great storm arise in their life out of nowhere? I mean, a financial, a physical trial, anything you're going through, you know, all of a sudden arise. Well, the Bible says that's what happened to them that day. A great storm of wind. How much storm of wind? So much that the waves beat into the ship, so that the ship was now full. And you know what Pastor Mike's going to say. I'm not an expert in a lot of things. And I'm not an expert in sailing. But I do know that when you're in the boat, you don't want the water to be filled up to the top. Right? That was supposed to be a little bit sarcastic and funnier than you gave me credit for, but I'll take it. I'll take it anyways. But it's true. You don't want the boat filled up. It was full. That's how bad it was. One translation says it was a storm of hurricane proportions. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish or dying? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you afraid? Well, what was he saying here? I'm going to preach on this tonight, but what he was saying is wrong response. You say, why would you go that route? Now remember, this is a storm where they thought they were dying. Professional fishermen. They were convinced they were dying. They knew weather. They knew when it was dire on the sea. And Jesus said, wrong response, guys. Why are you worried? Why are you afraid? And then he tells us why that's the wrong response. He says, how is it that you have no faith? Well, apparently, when there's fear, worry, doubt, and stress and anxiety, there's no faith there. Well, what do we learn on Saturday night? We learned that we receive by faith. That's how we receive. Hebrews 6:12 says that without faith, we receive by the promises of God through faith and patience. We saw in James chapter 1 and verse 6, if we're not in faith, we can't expect to receive anything from God. Faith is vital. And Jesus said, that's the wrong response when you're in a test and trials, worry, doubt, and unbelief. So we can't get into worry, doubt, and unbelief. And I want to help you because in the tests and trials, that's when the temptation to get into worry, doubt, and unbelief and fear are the greatest. When the doctor says something, when your body's feeling something, when the checkbook says something, when your job says something, when your kids are going a certain way, when life is this and life is that, that's the temptation to worry, be afraid, and doubt. And that is the last time and the last place you want to enter into that. Because that's not how you get delivered. Amen. That's not how you get delivered. Faith is delivered. And so Jesus is saying you can't go that route. You got to stay in faith. Now, here's what I want to help you with. The reason they struggled and got into doubt and unbelief, it wasn't because of the storm. It wasn't because of the water filling. It was because they entertained the thought. They actually entertained the thought that this might not work. This might be it for us. What is the first statement I said? I cannot be defeated. They didn't have that down on the inside of them, did they? No, they didn't. They were in a test that they were convinced we're defeated in this thing. It's over for us in this thing. They had that in their minds that we're done. It's over. We're dying. I mean, they were yelling at Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? We left our life and are following you and you're sleeping on a pillow. We are dying. Worst trial you can have is that. I mean, your car breaking down is tough, but not like you're going to die. Amen. And that's what it said. He's in the worst trial of their life, he said, that's a wrong response. And they were convinced. They didn't have it down in their heart that they cannot be defeated. And because they didn't have that in their heart, because they entertained the thought that they might be defeated, oh, it opened the door to the doubt and the unbelief. If you're going to get through your trial and your test with full faith and see that through, you cannot even entertain the thought or go down that road of that entertaining that thought that this might be it. I might not make it. The money might not come this time. It might turn out bad. No, you can't do it. But you can't do that unless the Word says you can believe for that. If the Word promises you defeat and major losses, then that's what you have to expect. But, amen, you can't entertain, you only need to entertain what the Word says. They entertain their thoughts. I want to tell you a story real quick. You like stories? I like stories. Most people know this, but you get newer people all the time. And I grew up diehard Buffalo Bills fan. I mean, I didn't know a bigger Buffalo Bills fan than me. We had season tickets from 1987 with Shane Conlon from Frewsburg. My dad used to coach him, and he went to Penn State. So when he went to Penn State in 83, I was only 4 years old, so I didn't really know very much about it. But when I was, I would have been in second grade. He came to my school and spoke. My dad brought him. It was the summer or the fall after his, or whatever, at 87, they won the national championship, Penn State. And some of you are thinking, who gives a rip? Well, I'm getting to where I'm going. Just hold your horses here. Sports fans out there are enjoying what I'm saying right now. Just be patient. And they beat the Miami Hurricanes, and Shane Conlon had two interceptions that game, and he was just an awesome linebacker, you know. And so wherever Shane Conlon, because he was from the town I grew up in, my dad coached him, we knew the family, wherever he got drafted in 1988, when he was the team I was going to be a fan of. So if he would have went to the Dolphins, I'd have been a fan. Because I was only, you know, 8 or 9 years old that time, and I was born in 79, so I guess that would have made me 9 years old. Wherever he would have went, if he would have went to the Raiders, if he would have went to any, I mean, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time, I would have been a fan. But he went to the hometown team, the Buffalo Bills. We bought season tickets and had them all the way till 1996 when Jim Kelly retired. And if you saw my bedroom at home, you'd have known that I was a Bills fan. I had the Andre Reed poster, Thurman Thomas poster, Daryl Talley poster, Cornelius Bennett poster, Bruce Smith poster, Jim Kelly poster, Shane Conlon, I mean, Steve Tasker, I had them all. I had my room across the top, had that wallpaper banner, you know, and it had the Bills all around. I had the Bills blanket, I had the Bills carpet, I had everything Buffalo Bills. In fact, when they lost the first Super Bowl to the Giants, I missed some school. The next few days, I was too heartbroken, I couldn't go. They say, what's wrong with your parents? Oh, they knew, don't make me go, I can't do it. Because everybody knew how much of a fan I was there to pick on me. But let me tell you a story. January 3rd, 1993. It was, my birthday's January 6th. And so for my birthday, we got playoff tickets. I went to pretty much most every game home between that time and playoffs. And didn't go to all the games. But for my birthday and going out to dinner and things, I got tickets to go to the playoff game. Well, this was against the Houston Oilers, January 3rd, 1993. And in this game, it started terribly. It was at halftime, the Bills were down 28-3. Coming back, so at halftime, it's terrible. And they've already gone to three straight Super Bowls in 90, 91, and 92. And they're trying to go back in 93 for a fourth straight year. And I'm in that game. At that game, it's 28-3 at halftime. And the place starts emptying. I mean, by the droves. I mean, it's just emptying out. And the people I was with wanted to leave too, but No, there's a bratty kid there that says, that's my birthday present, we're not going nowhere. And honestly, back then, this is just the truth, I had so much confidence in that team. You know, that's like one of the two major things about my childhood were when I played baseball and my love for the Bills growing up. It was just such a major part of my life with the season tickets and things like that. And so anyways, they're down 28-3, people are leaving, the people want to leave. I said, no, we're not going anywhere, this is my birthday present. We're staying, and so they did. You know, they probably should have spanked me, but we stayed, and they come back out, and Frank Reich throws an interception the first drive of the second half, and they take it back for a touchdown. Now the Bills are down 35-3, and you thought people left at halftime. Oh, people started because some people hung out and said, you know what, we can turn this around, and they came back out, and it was got even worse, and people are leaving like crazy. I'm not going anywhere. I believe they're going to do this, you know. And what ended up happening, long story short, they ended up winning 41-38. They came back, greatest comeback in NFL history. And people were trying to get back in the stadium and things, and they couldn't. And it was just a crazy game, one of the neatest games in Buffalo Bills history. But I was there. Now, this is why are you bringing this up, Pastor Mike? There's a lot we can learn from that game. Do you want to know what you can learn from that game? Now, remember, the disciples struggled with their faith because they entertained a thought. This is it. This is over. Well, how many of you know God from his position in heaven on that day, January 3rd, 1993, He's already been to the future and back. He's been to the past, been to the future. He's everywhere. He knew that the Bills would win that game, right? He knew the outcome of the game. Now, I believe that. I didn't know what the score was, but most of the fans believed they knew the outcome of the game. What did they do? They entertained the thought, we're not going to a fourth Super Bowl. They entertained that thought, didn't they? Obviously, they would have, if they would have thought they were come back, they wouldn't have left like that, because that was a show to be seen. And people this day still talk about, oh, I left that game, or I didn't see that game. It wasn't even sold out. It was blacked out around the area, so you had to have a special way to see it, go somewhere that they had it, or, you know, do something illegal to see the game. You know, I didn't talk to people about it. And the fans that left all had the same thought. We're done. We're done. It's over. They all left. Now, how would that have changed? Now, listen, I don't think I'll ever take my child to a Buffalo Bills game unless we sit in a private box, because I mean the language and the things that go on in those places are like, whoa, you know, and as a young child and hearing all that, when they were losing like that, you can imagine all the hours they had to tailgate and drink and drink and at the game, and as they're doing worse, they're drinking more, and people are cussing and swearing and angry and mad, and the dynasty's over and no fourth straight Super Bowl, and they leave. Now, how would that have changed if they would have been privy to the final outcome of that game? What if somehow they had seen everything that was going to happen, and they knew, wait a second, after that interception, it's all going to turn around. Steve Christie's going to end up kicking the game-winning field goal. We're going to win 41-38 in overtime, and that's just what it's going to be. Nobody would have left that stadium. Right. Nobody would have been down. Nobody would have been angry when they were losing. You know what they would have said? Oh, that's okay, that's happening in first quarter. Game's not over yet. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the second quarter. Game's not over yet. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the third quarter. The game's not over yet. And they'd have stayed right there. They would have been happy. And then they would have known what happened. But because they entertained the thought that it's going to be over, what? Their faith went down the drain. That's what happens to Christians. When hell on earth shows up in their life and faith is the avenue out of that thing, they entertain the thought, not going to make it this time. Money's not going to come this time. I'm going to deal with this the rest of my life. It's never going to change. Oh, that's not a good thing to entertain, because then doubt and unbelief start creeping in. Fear starts creeping in. Worry starts creeping in. Anxiety starts creeping in. And Jesus said to us in Mark 4, where those things are present, faith is not present. And the only time that you can have victory is when faith is present. Yes. Amen. You can't entertain it, praise God. Had the fans known what God knew, it would have changed thousands of people's attitudes, actions, and words. Oh, what if I could show you in the Word that the hell you're in right now, or the problem you're in right now, it's only the first quarter. It's only the second quarter. And by the end, when that bell, that final whistle blows, you will be victorious. And I'm not talking about heaven. No, He gave us faith not for heaven. You don't need faith in heaven. He gave us faith for down here on the earth. Amen. What if I could show you the final outcome? What if I could look into your future and show you what God has said about you? Oh, it would change your attitude. It would change your actions. It would change your words. You'd no longer be mopey and dopey, walking around, oh, woe is me, I'm not going to do it, or fearful, laying in bed at night, wringing your hands, wondering what's going to happen, constantly stirring it over in your mind. Why stir it over your mind? The only thing you need to stir over in your mind after I show you tonight is, I win, I win, I win. Game's not over yet. So let me show you. Let's get the old spiritual crystal ball out here and look into your future. This is the Word now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Oh, the devil's a liar. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. I think that's still in my Bible. There it is. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Sometimes I feel like they hide from me. These books of the Bible, and I can't get to them. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which sometimes. Which you never know. No, which always, everybody say always, always causes us to triumph. Always causes us to triumph. What does that mean? Whatever you're going through, through him, if I'll do it his way, which is faith, by the way, through him I will win. That's what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 4 and verse 4. I'm only going to go to a few of them here tonight. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children. Sometimes we forget who we're of. And have overcome them because of something greater. Everybody say greater. You know what that means? What you're facing, he's greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I preached a sermon not too, well, it would have been maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I don't know when it was. Got the revelation, Jesus is bigger. Jesus is bigger. Whatever you're facing, Jesus is bigger. Jesus is greater than that thing. That's why when we sing, Father, you are great, you do miracles so great. What's a miracle? A miracle is when the natural says no. A miracle is when the natural says it's incurable, it's impossible, there's no way out. But he's our way out, praise God. And why? Because he's greater. The Bible says that Jesus has been given a name above all names, right? He's above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. What's a name? Cancer's a name. Guess what? Jesus is greater. Fill in the blank with a sickness. Guess what? Jesus is greater. Yeah, but the balance sheet and the financials say this. Jesus is greater. Amen. Amen. And he's in you. Praise God. I cannot be defeated. Why? Because he always causes me to triumph, and I have the greater one on the inside of me. Now, here's the thing, though. People that don't recognize that and don't realize that, they have Jesus on the inside of them. I'm telling you, I've talked to people who go through the same exact problem, money-wise, physical-wise. Some conquer, some don't. And you know, it's interesting, in the same trial, they'll talk different. Yeah. Oh, I just don't know what to do, I'm just so afraid, I can't. And other person will say, this don't matter.
That's right.
This don't matter. God's bigger than this. And they give God their faith and they cooperate with him. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't have planned to go here, but real quick, go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. I'm so tired of the devil winning. I'm so tired of the devil hoodwinking people. No. You see, what the word does is it brings light to people.
Right.
Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It was the grace of God that saved you. His power, his mercy, his ability. But that grace had to flow through something.
Yeah.
Through what? Faith. Whose job is to have faith? It's not his. It's your job to have faith. He says the grace, the power, and the ability flows through faith. Why do you have to give him faith? Because he's got to flow his power through it. Why can't he move on the sick person? That's how it's never going to get better. It's never going to work out. Oh, this situation's too hard for me. Or these finances, it just never works. Why? You're not giving him anything to flow his grace through. He said that when you got saved, the only way that grace came was through faith. Somebody, yourself, when you got born again, laid a pipeline for him. Amen. And some people don't lay pipelines for him, and he can't get his power to us. For by grace are you healed through faith. For by grace are you made prosperous through faith. It always comes through faith. Remember he said you can't receive without faith. If you can believe or you can have faith, then you can have it. That's what he said. I worked in the oil and gas fields years ago. My buddy, his dad owned an oil and gas company, and I got to work on a project in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, where we did, I think it was 6 to 8, I can't remember the exact number, put new oil wells in. And I was the one responsible for getting down in the ditch, you know, when the backhoe would come through and dig the ditch, and I would get down there with the plastic 2-inch piping that the gas and the oil were going to flow through, and I'd get down there with a generator and a fuser and fuse those together and fuse the lines and lay all the lines. And how many of you know that the investors and the landowners that receive the royalties, receive the free gas, the energy and the royalties and the investors that get money back on them and the project manager that gets money and things like that. How many of you know they're not sitting there thinking about how exciting the pipeline is, the plastic pipeline. No, they're interested in what's in the ground. What's in the ground? The power, the oil and the gas, the resources. Well, how many of you know the oil and the gas have always been there? There's places in the world right now that have not been tapped with an oil well or a gas well that have natural resources in the ground that could bring energy, could bring money, could bring power. They're there all the time. But guess what? They don't get extracted out of the ground until a pipeline is put in the ground. God's power is always around. It's always there. He never changes. His answer is always yes. Yes, he's never like, oh, I don't know, or I'm weak today. I woke up, I had the sniffles today. I'm going to not be God this morning. No, he's always God. He's always power. He's always miracles. He's always signs and wonders. Well, then why don't we see it all the time? Because people don't hook into it. That was me hooking into him. I'm fusing into God. And I don't want to give God some little straw-sized pipeline. I want to let him know you are God, and you are great, and you are big, and you are mighty, and you are strong, and this thing is small compared to you. What am I doing? Enlarging my pipeline. You know, when the firemen show up to the fire, they get their little straw-sized hose out and hook it in. Well, they could do that, and guess what? Just a little stream's going to come out. No, they get those big hoses. Why? I need more power. Amen. Glory to God. 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. What if you stopped believing that you weren't going to make it this time? What if you stopped even entertaining that, oh, I'll have to deal with this the rest of my life? What if you stopped having that thought? Start putting your faith in these thoughts, the word thoughts. I mean, what if? It's a better way to live. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, are you born of God? You know what I know about President Trump? He's got children. You know what I know about Ivanka and Eric and Don Jr., you know? You know what I know about them? That life was different for them growing up than it is for a lot of kids. You want to know why? Daddy. They were born of Donald Trump. President Donald Trump, forgive me. Say, well, you must just be a Republican. No, President Obama prayed for President Obama, prayed for President Trump just as much pray for any of them. Amen. Don't make me start on that now. I'm telling you, I'm serious. People are so dishonorable. It don't matter what your opinion is, what you think. That's the person in the office. The Bible says we're called to pray for them, not criticize them. We're not called to backbite, make jokes, and dishonor. We're called to pray and be honorable. That's how I was for President Obama. That's how I'll be for President Trump. And whoever gets into office, when President Trump gets in back in 2020, I'm going to be praying and lifting him up. If it's someone that gets in there that I didn't want or didn't vote for, guess what Pastor Mike's going to do? Pray for him and be honorable. Because that's what God says to do. Soapbox over. Let's put the soapbox away, though. That's the truth. So many people are so dishonorable in their words and their actions. Listen, it ain't matter what you think or what you want. It's what does God say about it? He says to pray for those in authority, not those that you agree with. Not those that you voted for, not those that you like that are authority. No, they're in authority in that office. You pray for them and lift them up. Be a blessing. Praise God. Whatsoever is born of God. So why did I get off on that? Oh, yeah, because Donald Trump's kids are born of him and life's different. Well, life ought to be different for the Christian. Why? We're born of him. I mean, there's some benefits that come from being born of God. Amen? He says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It is in your DNA. It is in your legal right, no matter what you're facing, to not be overcome by it, but you to overcome it. That's what the word says. Why are we even entertaining that it won't work? Why are we even entertaining that it's not going to turn around? Why are we even entertaining that it won't turn for our favor? Because we don't know some things. Just like those Bills fans, they had no idea. They were convinced. No one's ever done that before. No one's ever been down 35-3 before and won, so they left. Had they known, oh, they wouldn't have left. They wouldn't have frowned. They wouldn't have pouted. They wouldn't have sulked. They wouldn't have had an attitude problem. They wouldn't have been sad and depressed. And no, they'd have been, even during the tough times, they'd have been shouting, saying, ooh, just wait. Just wait, you Warren Moon. That was the quarterback of the Oilers. Just wait, Warren. Times are coming for you. He says, what's overcomes the world? If we're born of God, we have the victory that overcomes the world. And then look how the victory's walked out. even our faith. This is the victory. This is the victory. See, that's why you can't afford to get into doubt, fear, unbelief, worry, anxiety, and stress. And if you already know you win, there's no reason to get into worry, doubt, fear, unbelief, anxiety, and stress. He says, the way you're going to walk in ice, I'm going to give you the victory. I'm going to give you the blueprint for victory. It's your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. Amen. He's God. I cannot be defeated. Can't be defeated. Can't be defeated. Praise God. I'm not going to entertain anything else, but I cannot be defeated. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew 14:22. Well, you just never know. Oh, you keep having that thought then. You keep entertaining that. I'm just going to believe what God says. Matthew 14:22 says this. It says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent away the multitudes. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But now the ship that the disciples were in on the sea, verse 24, was contrary, tossed with the waves and the wind. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. They cried out for fear. But Jesus spoke and said to them, be of good cheer, it's me, don't be afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. And Jesus opened his mouth and said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, professional fisherman gets out under the water. It says, he walked on water. He defied all natural laws and logic to go to Jesus. So if we stop right there, you say, well, that's good. Wow, Peter had faith. He believed the word of God. He didn't believe what the circumstances were saying. What was the circumstances saying? The winds, you can't get out of the boat. The waves, you don't get out, all logic of a fisherman, you don't get out of the boat, you stay in the boat. And you're telling me to get out and walk to you? That never happened before. He defied all that and did it, walked on the water. But, oh, there's that but again. Oh, why has there got to be a but? You know, I always say we need to get some spiritual Suzanne Summers thigh and butt masters. You remember Suzanne Summers had the infomercials? Why? What's that help you do? Get rid of your butt. We need to get rid of the butts out of the word. I mean, here he's walking on the water, but, oh, why has there got to be a but? When he saw the wind was boisterous. The wind was boisterous before he got out of the boat. Tells us it was. He was afraid. Oh, there it is, that fear. And what happens when you get into doubt, fear, unbelief, anxiety, and stress? He began to sink. Lord, save me. And what did Jesus say? Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, what did the doubting do? See, people say, oh, this faith message, this faith message. No, he said, you're sinking because you're doubting. Faith will keep you on top of that water. Now, how am I trying to keep you in faith? Don't ever entertain the fact that it's never going to work. But here's the thing you need to know from this portion of Scripture, is that the wind and the waves in your circumstances are going to try to pull you out from a place of faith into a place of doubt and unbelief. Why? Because if you get in doubt and unbelief, you'll sink. That's what the devil wants, you to sink. Well, what does that mean? How about when time goes by, it doesn't get better? You know what that is? That's a wind and a wave. What about when it gets worse, situation gets worse, symptoms get worse, doctor's report gets worse, financials get worse, job report gets worse, children get worse, things get worse? What's that an opportunity to try to do? Get you to put your focus on that to sink you in that thing. But if you never entertain that no matter what the waves look like, because that's what happened. He walked on the water when he didn't care what the waves looked like. When he didn't care what the wind was doing, he walked on the water. Well, if you're so convinced that you can't fail, it doesn't matter if it looks like it's going south. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's getting worse. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's taking time to go by. It doesn't matter. The Bible says you can't lose. At halftime, Pastor, this is a true story, believed that my team, I mean, I thought they were my heroes growing up, you know. There's no way they're losing this game. They've just been to 3 straight Super Bowls. I just thought every year they're going to go. They don't lose. They pull it off. Halftime ends, and they come out. Frank Reich throws an interception off of Pete Metzlar's hands. Boom, they run it back for a touchdown. And it's getting worse. And guess what Pastor Mike's saying? It's not because I some faith giant back then. I had faith in my team. And if you'll have faith like that in your God, you'll do the same thing. Okay, now can we go? No, we can't. No, we can't. I didn't want to stay there with my birthday tickets to see them get crushed. I wanted to stay there on birthday tickets because I truly believe they're not losing this game. Now, it was ridiculous to think that back then, you know, I mean, even though they did win, it's just, but that's my, it was just dumb faith in my team. And no, we can't leave. What was that? So what happened? Halftime, it's terrible. You wait a whole half to come out. You're excited they're going to do it. And it gets bad again. Didn't deter me. They're still winning this game. There's still a rest of a third quarter and a rest of a fourth quarter. Listen, as long as you're here with a heartbeat, it ain't over.
Amen.
And I know what's happening at my house right now back in Lakewood, New York. If they're listening, Caleb just said, Mom, Dad just said ain't. I'm supposed to say ain't. That's not a proper word, and you're right, buddy. But just making my point. Just telling you, I know what's going on back there right now. You can't entertain anything other than what God has said. And he said what? You'll always triumph. He said, you have the greater one on the inside of you. He said, you will overcome if you'll be in faith. I remember starting the church in South Dayton, you know. And listen, the last place naturally that you start a church is South Dayton, New York. Go check it out sometime. I mean, don't blink. You'll miss the whole thing. You sneeze, you come to the border of South Dayton, and you sneeze. By the time you're done sneezing, you're past. It's over. You missed it. Small 600 people there, you know, and had to quit my job to pastor and start a church with a baby on the way. $2,000 short every single month of paying our bills. I quit my full-time job to start a church. God told me to do it. And I'll tell you what. You talk about times when it was windy and wavy. Oh, man, it was windy and wavy. I'd pray all day long, seeking God for a message and hearing from heaven. And I'd show up to a Wednesday service, and it would be me, my head usher, and one other person, a whole row in a storefront of empty seats. And I'd preach that sermon like I was preaching to 50,000 people. And there'd be two people. You talk about a wind and a wave. Times when the money wasn't coming in. I've told this story before publicly, so I'll tell it again. This isn't bragging on me. It's just I'm willing to do anything for the house of God. Went through a stretch early on in the South Dayton church. This is how bad it got at times, you know, because devil's always going to oppose. But see, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. God doesn't tell me to do things to fail.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. And there was so bad financially at one point, I was taking, when I finally got a salary, this was when I got a salary, and we actually had taken a turn after like a couple years, worse than we were when we started. And we had just moved into the new building, which is now our current old building. That was our newer building before we got the new one. And things were so bad that I took every penny of every bit of money that I made and put it right back into the church and put all my bills on credit cards. When I was due, I said, Lord, you'll pay this back. And I didn't tell anybody going through that, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but in the victory now, show people, it's an example of being willing to do whatever for God, but I'm trying to show you how bad it got. Literally, every penny was going right to get my salary, right to check, right back to the church. Just credit bills come, credit card, just going further and further into debt, credit cards. And I don't encourage you to do that unless you know that you know that you know that's got what the Lord's leading you to do. Amen? And he did. He paid it all off supernaturally. But there was so many wind and waves and so many opportunities, so much so that naturally speaking, in my mind and my flesh, I grew to hate going there. If you've ever heard the story about my post office experience, I pulled into South Dayton. We used to stop there and get the mail before service. And I was so just, hell on earth was going on in my life personally with physical things and financial things, the church. And I'm like, here I'm being faithful. Here I'm just trying to get this word out there. And it's not, it just doesn't seem to be working. It's like the first and second and the beginning of third quarter in that football game. It just, nothing was going right. But ladies and gentlemen, fourth quarter had not sounded yet. Amen. And the Lord told me to do it. And he doesn't tell me to do things that fail. And so I remember I pulled into South Dayton. I just couldn't stand it, man, in my flesh. Now, my spirit knew it was to be there, but I was just like, man, I'm sick of this. I'm so sick of this. And I go into the post office, and I walk in, and thank God, I almost stepped, and I moved away. And inside the post office in South Dayton is a huge pile of dog poop. And I thought to myself, that's it, I'm quitting. I'm done with this place. I don't want anything tonight. I had to give myself a little pep talk at the post office and do my little step over, you know. Give myself a pep talk, but I'm talking about the wind and the waves. And the wind, you know what else a wind and wave is? Your past failures. Well, it didn't work before. That's just a wind and a wave. You need to convince yourself, I'm victorious, I'm going to triumph, because that's what he said. He's greater, praise God. Amen. Now we'll just finish up with this one. It won't be as long. He said, I will not be defeated. I cannot be defeated. You cannot be defeated. And the only way you cannot be defeated is the final part of that phrase. And I will not quit. That's the only way that you can fail is if you give it up. Just quit on the word, quit on faith. Romans 8 and verse 37. Are you being helped tonight? I'll tell you, we're going to walk out of here. We're going to be chasing the devil down the street. We're going to be going knocking on his door looking for him. Come out, you nasty devil. I want to sock you one. Romans 8, 37. He says, nay. Sounds like a horse. Nay. In all these things, we, the Christian. Now, don't ever come up to me and tell me, Pastor, we're conquerors. We are not conquerors. You are not a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We love that verse. Sign me up. And yeah, sign me up. That's a good one. I'd rather be called more than a conqueror than someone who's always being conquered. But when a king, you've seen the old king movies, you know, where they go to conquer another realm or another kingdom, what do? They have to go in battle, go take it. There's a struggle, there's a pressing, there's a opposition. I want to be a conqueror, okay. I want to be more than a conqueror, okay. But that means you're going to have to conquer some things. What does that mean? You're going to have to walk that battle out. There's going to be a first quarter, a second quarter, a third quarter. But if you'll stay with it, stay with the word, stay in faith, 1 John 4:4 will come to pass. 1 John 5 and verse 4 will come to pass. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 will come to pass. All those verses about how you can't be defeated, they'll come to pass. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. I will not quit. I will not quit. I'll walk this out. I don't care. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter. We're not leaving. We're not leaving. Well, I'm not quitting on this team. The only way, you got to get that in your head, the only way it's not going to work. I'm not saying it won't look bad at times. I'm not saying it won't look like you're going under. I'm not saying that it won't look like there's no hope on the horizon. There's no light at the end of time. I'm not saying it won't look like that. But what I am saying is get your mind off those things and get your mind on the word. Amen. Luke chapter 4. This is the story of, for time's sake, I won't read the whole thing, but in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days, verse 2, tested of the devil. Now, in 40 days, the only account we have in those 40 days is the devil coming to him three times, but that doesn't mean the devil only came to him three times. That's just all that we have an account of. But even if it was three times, this is what I want you to see, is in this time, each time the devil came to him, remember when he was hungry, he said, turn this stone into bread. Then he said, jump off the cliff. Then he said, fall down and worship me. Three times he tempted or tested Jesus. How many of you know it's not a temptation or a test if there's no pressure or opposition? It was a test for Jesus. He was just as much man as he was God on the earth. He bled. He cried, he got hungry, he got tired, amen? He wasn't just God. God doesn't ever get tired. God doesn't have to eat. God doesn't have to sleep. Jesus did all those things on earth. Why? He's walking in as a man. And the Bible says he was tested or tempted. So this was opposition. Now, he passed the test. But this is what I want you to see. In these verses, the devil would come to Jesus, and Jesus fought him off, walked in faith, walked in the word, and the Bible says the devil kept coming back. What if Jesus was said, I told you, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil comes back and Jesus thinks, well, I don't understand. I did the right thing. I already fought the devil off. Why is this continuing to happen? No, he didn't care. He just did what was right. Second time he comes back, jump off a cliff. Gets the devil. The devil leaves. The Bible says he comes back to Jesus a third time. What if Jesus, this doesn't work. Pastor Mike preaches about prosperity, and I just lost my job. Pastor Mike preaches about health and healing, and I got symptoms. You're looking at the wind and the waves. Yeah. You are. Jesus didn't say, it's not working. No, you see, here's the thing. Jesus knew, if I work it, it'll work. Right. If I don't quit, if I stick with it, the devil cannot stand. He can make a whole lot of noise and roar and make a big scene and kick up a dust storm, but if you'll stay faithful, remember, you have the greater one. Yes. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 and verse 22. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Praise God. Those words changed my life. Because there's times you get in situations and your mind is telling you, no, it's over. But if you live by that motto, this can't take me out. This can't take me out. This will turn around. And it did turn around the South Dayton Church in a big, big way. Praise God. But I knew it would. I knew it would. Because of the word. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She's going to Jesus for help. And look at verse 23. But he answers her not a word. What's that translation for? He ignored her. She's in the worst situation of her life. Hell on earth. Her daughter is possessed and vexed by a devil. And she goes to Jesus looking for help. He doesn't even respond to her. Now you tell me what most people would have done. Left. Discouraged. Thought he was my help. I've confessed for my healing in a month. It's not changing. Thought he was my help. No, you can't go there. He is always your help. But I've been believing God for change in my finances, and for 6 months I can't pay my bills. Yeah, well, I went 2 years being $2,000 short every month. And some days, 30 days in a month, 31 days in a month, it got to the last day and it looked like, where'd you go? He's always faithful.
Amen.
Always faithful. Amen. Jesus doesn't answer her, and his disciples came now and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. So he doesn't say a word. She says, I'll go to the second best thing there is, which is his disciples. They hang around him. And now they're mad and saying, going back to Jesus, say, so they didn't help her either. They're going back to Jesus, saying, would you get this woman off our case? She's going through hell on earth, and now she's been denied twice. But if you'll have the mentality, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now it's the third time she takes a beating. Because now Jesus out loud says, don't talk to me, disciples. I'm not sent to her. She's not a Jew. Three times. Now what you have to understand about this story is we always know that God's loving. We always know that God's merciful. He always has a reason that always stems from the foundation of love and mercy. It appears that he's being nasty to her. It appears that he doesn't care about her, but we know that can't be the case. He's a loving, merciful God. What he's trying to do is pull her out of her whining, her moaning and her groaning, and put her into faith, because he knows, I can't move in this situation until this woman comes with faith. And faith has a can-do, won't-quit attitude. And at first she comes to him, son of David, have mercy on me. And she was living out of someone else's revelation. He's not son of David to her. Son of David is a Jewish term. She's not even a Jew, but she's heard someone else say that and get his attention. She's trying to get his attention. He's not even answering her. Why? He's not sitting there saying, I don't want to help her. I want to help her. He's saying, I want to help her, but I got to pull her into faith. That's like the person that called me one time and said, Pastor, I just found out this about my finances. And he said, oh my gosh, I am so worried. And I said, that is the worst response you can have. Start over. Now that sounds like I'm being mean and nasty. No, I'm trying to pull you out of doubt and unbelief and pull you into faith. Why? You want God to move on your situation? You better bring faith to the table. And Jesus doesn't answer. Now he says out loud, I'm not sent to her. I mean, three times now. What would most people do? I guess today's not my day. I've been confessing for months on this. I've been believing for this for a year and nothing's changing. I guess it's just not working. In my situation, like I said, I guess prosperity doesn't work. I've been confessing and believing God for a salary for 2 years and haven't got one. It just doesn't work. That's what you could say. But don't say that. It's working. If you don't quit. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. What? She's not quitting. And look at this. He answered and said, it's not meet or right for me to take the children's bread. What's the children's bread? The healing that belonged to Israel. And cast it to dogs. Evidently, when she says, Lord, help me, she's not in a place of faith yet. Why? Because he helps people that are in faith. Unless the gift of the Spirit manifests and it wasn't manifesting here. Remember we talked about that on Saturday night? There's two ways to receive divine healing. A gift of the Spirit, which you could be waiting for your whole life for that. Or you can take it by faith. And apparently she hadn't gotten to faith yet because she says, Lord, help me. He says, I'm not casting what belongs to the children to the dogs. He called her a dog four times. Oh, man, Jesus would have been on Facebook, Insta, whatever, Twitter. I mean, it would have been all over that. Jesus is mean. That's what a non-faith person would have done, give up. Well, I guess, Lord, When you start questioning if God cares and is God interested, your faith's at a level that it needs to go up higher. When you're in faith, you always know he's ready to pounce on that thing. Amen. And so the fourth time he says that to her, and she said, "You mean and nasty preacher. I'm going to tell." No. She said, "That's true, Lord." Because she was using a natural illustration. I don't sit down at dinner with my family and my little black lab, Willow. I say, "You know what, Caleb and Abby, let me take your food and give it to Willow." No, I don't do that. That's out of order. Yeah. The children of Israel, they were the ones that were sitting at the table eating. And there might be dogs around. She said, "That's true, Lord. You don't cast the bread to the dogs." She said, "But the dogs still get to eat the crumbs that fall off the table."
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the switch was flipped. And Jesus now has a different reaction to her. Jesus answered and said, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." What happened? She flipped the switch of faith. He recognized it. He says, now I can move. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood, everybody's touching him, but only one got something out of him? Why? Jesus said, "It's because of your faith." Faith will flip the switch. But look at what it takes for faith people to see the manifestation. It takes a "I will not quit" attitude.
Amen.
I will not quit. I don't care that it went south. I don't care that it looks bad. I don't care that it's getting harder. I don't care that the money's not there. The sickness is getting worse. I don't care. I only care what he says. And it will turn. And it will change. I remember preaching to the seats at South Dayton, empty seats after a Wednesday night service, and talking to each and everyone saying, "There will be a rear end in you. There will be a rear end in you. There will be a rear end in you. You will grow. This church will grow. The money will come to this place. Father, you did not call me to fail." Care how many, that's why I say this now. I got to see Pastor Michael Lukatic, my pastor, do it. Started a church at the Jamestown Holiday Inn back in 2003. And after a year, he had less people than he started with, less than 10. And I saw that man stand up there because God told him to start a church in Jamestown. I saw that man say, people will come, the word will go forth, God's plan will go forth. And I saw him do that and do that. And now the family church in Jamestown is the biggest family church that there is. People getting born again, saved, set free, filled with the Holy Ghost. I saw it happen in South Dayton, and now we're witnessing it happen here.
Amen.
All those years in the warehouse, doesn't look like it's happened. Doesn't look like it's happened. People are coming and leaving. They don't want to be part of that building. People are coming and leaving. It's happening now.
Amen.
And it's going to keep happening. Why? Because people are going to be hungry for this stuff.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth. And so now I was like, "Lord, you tell me to go start in a closed down Kmart parking lot." I will. Don't matter to me because I know it'll work. If God says to do it, it'll work. And if God says you'll be victorious, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It will work. And last but not least, go to 1 Corinthians 16:9. We'll shut this down. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Hoo-wee. You need to be like that wide-eyed little Buffalo Bills fan.
Amen.
Back in 1993, who just, it didn't matter what it looked like. Man, my team's going to come through. It don't matter what it looks like. God, you're going to come through. You're going to come through. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. Paul said this, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Can you pull that up in the Amplified, Brandy? To help people see it a little bit better. I think we have the ability to do that, don't we, on that computer? "For a wide door of opportunity, for effectual service has opened to me, there a great and promising one. But at that door, there's many adversaries." Ladies and gentlemen, if you think you're going to waltz into the abundant life and get into all that God has for you and increase, every time I've started a church, hell on earth broke loose in my life, personally, physically, financially. Oh, I mean, 2018 was one of my hardest years, naturally. Now, no one ever knew about it. Church didn't tell anybody at church, show up, smile, full of faith. Why? Because that wasn't just a show. I believed it was going to turn around. It was one of my hardest years. Why? We were getting ready to break some ground. Well, I know how it works. Paul was told to go to Macedonia. What happens? He goes to Macedonia, gets his rear end kicked, stripped naked, and thrown in prison. Why? He's about to change some things. When you're about to go higher spiritually, higher physically, higher financially, move into greater, don't be shocked when hell on earth breaks loose in your life. That's why people, they get planted in a church like this, and they hear the word they've never heard before, and they get equipped with things, and hell breaks loose in their life. Why? The Bible says the devil comes to steal the word. through tests and trials. Don't be shocked. Count yourself worthy to be messed with by the devil. I was going through hell on earth and sat down with my pastor. He said, Pastor Mike, you must be pretty special for the devil to give you that kind of attention. I said, well, I never looked at it that way. When there's a great door of opportunity, a great opportunity to be a blessing, a great opportunity for you to increase in life, there's going to be the devil standing right at the door trying to keep you out. But if you'll have the mentality, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit, you'll break through it. It might take time. And it might look bad. It might even look worse. You might believe. You might release your faith for something. And it gets worse. Don't be surprised. It ain't over yet. It got worse after halftime. It wasn't over yet. You're still here. You're here, right? Do I need to go around and pinch you? Make sure you're still there? You know, right under the arm's the worst. Just give you a big pinch right on the arm. We'll see if you're still here. You're here. That means it's not over yet. Things can turn in a day. Things can turn, praise God. You just keep giving God that pipeline. He'll keep flowing that through. And it'll turn. Father, thank you for change. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. Everybody say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I trust in you. And I put my faith in you. And I thank you that I will get to the other side. That these situations will turn for my better, for my victory. And I thank you. That I win. Praise God. Now thank him. If you believe that, you'd thank him for it. Oh, Father, we believe that. We believe it. Father, there's things in my life need to turn. Things in my life, Father. Things within the churches that need to turn. Changing. Turning. Oh, yeah, they're turning. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for the change, for the help, for the turnaround. Yeah, that's good, Lord. That is so good. Thank you for sharing that with me. For 3 days, it looked like the devil won. Jesus lay dead in a tomb. It looked like it was over. All hope was lost, but there was a time coming. Woo-hoo-hoo. There was a resurrection coming. I'm telling you, there's a resurrection coming for your life. Let's just worship him. Father, we love and praise you tonight. Glory to your name. Now, this is only possible through you, Father. We're not patting ourselves on the back and saying this is a me gospel. No. It's because your power, your abilities, your grace, your might. So we exalt you, Father. Our faith is just the pipeline. It's necessary, but we don't exalt our faith. We don't magnify our faith. We magnify the God that flows through our faith. So, Father, we want you always to know that we look to you and praise you. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, please, nobody looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass her. I'm not trying to be bossy either. It just helps people when we do it this way. With heads bowed, eyes are closed. The things that come with being a child of God are things like what we talked about tonight. A victory and a help. A force called faith that enables you to turn situations, to remove mountains, to things that aren't even there, cause them to show up that you need. Things that are there and are real, to be cast into the sea, to be gone. I mean, that's what comes with being a child of God. God wants to help people. God wants to be on your side. God wants to help you through every problem and trial and circumstance there is. But this only comes by being his child. He's only obligated to his children. And the Bible tells us how we can become his child. And it has nothing to do with going to church and church attendance. It has nothing to do with being a good person or your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds and being moral or whatever, or you know, being a generous financial person, whatever. Bible says that to become a child of God, to get this kind of access, which heaven comes with it, eternal life comes with it, but not only eternal life comes with it, there's answers, there's help, there's power, there's grace, there's supernatural help in the hard times. It comes with it. And if you're here tonight and you could say, I don't know if I'm a child of God. Being a human being doesn't make you a child of God. Going to church doesn't make you a child of God. Being a good person doesn't make you a child of God. Receiving Jesus puts you in the family. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that if you'll receive Jesus, you'll become a child of God. My children have access to the things that I have, the grace that I have, the love that I have, the resources that I have, because they're my kids. When we become his kid, we become get access to what Daddy has. Daddy has victory. Daddy has power. Daddy has healing for you. Daddy has prosperity for you. He has joy. He has soundness of mind. Peace of mind, favor for you, protection for you. And it comes down to believing on Jesus. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. I promise you, this is between you and God. Nobody else is looking around. We're not going to single anybody out. But if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm a child of God, or I don't know if I'm a child of God, or I know for sure that I'm not a child of God. The way you become a child of God is by receiving Jesus. If you say, I've never done that, but I want to be in His family, I want to be a child of God, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody wants to receive Him tonight that's never done that before, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus tonight? Anybody at all, just lift your hand high in the air until I acknowledge it. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much for your boldness. Glory to God. The Lord sees that and recognizes that you raised your hand. I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, you listen carefully. The person that raised their hand, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. I don't care what it's been like up until this point. I don't care what's been in your mind and the things that you've been told or the things that you've thought how your life is. God has a plan for you of good things, amazing things. He loves you so much. He wants to help you. So that person that raised their hand, I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I'm not going to. But the only thing left to do is to receive Jesus, because He doesn't just automatically come in your heart. You have to believe and receive Him. So that person that raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, we're all going to pray it, so you're not the only one that's going to be saying it. But I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you confess that you believe in Jesus and you receive Him in your heart. And all I ask you to do is repeat it after me and mean it with all your heart. You might not understand everything, but in your heart of hearts, you're saying, I believe in you, Jesus. I want to receive you. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. For that person that raised their hand, along with everybody else in the church, let's pray it with this person. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sins.
And
I believe that you rose from the dead.
And
I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. And thank you for being a good father to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I always say this to people when they receive Jesus for the first time. Your next step is this. If you raised your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand and prayed that, God accepts that prayer, you know, and hears that cry from your heart. Your next step is to plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church. Now, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. If you never go to church again, you still get to go to heaven. But to learn everything that God has for you, to receive all that God has for you, you need a pastor. Now, I'll preach the Bible here, but you don't have to come here. But find a place that they're teaching the Bible. You'll know in your heart where home is. And find a place where they're preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible. Plant yourself faithful and start doing what God says to do in the Word and watch Him change your life. He wants to invade and impact every area of your life. He's not okay with one part of your life struggling. There's no part of my life, my kids' life are struggling. I'm like, I'm okay with that. They don't have provision. I'm okay with that. Oh, they're hungry. I'm okay with that. Oh, they have wounds. That's okay. They're fine. No, I want to be a dad to all areas of their life. And that's what He wants to do to you. So let's stand to our feet and worship Him tonight and thank Him. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided for us. You're bigger than what we're facing. You're more mighty than what you're facing. And Father, you are faithful. You are faithful. Everybody say this with me. Say, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you Saturday at 6 o'clock. I
So we search for you, Lord.